Matthew chapter number 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that asks seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." That's what that song was all about. As it's been said many a times, even from this very pulpit, prayer ought to be our first response rather than our last resource. Yes, and what an encouragement that that song is. Sometimes those words are real life, right? Yes, sir. Yes, and sometimes that's difficult. And what do I do? You pray again. I appreciate that. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. All right, Joe, I'm going to ask you to turn me down a little now. Sorry. I'm hearing Rice is like, crank it up. Yeah, turn it up. It was funny. Last night, Brother Rice, you won a prize at the men's game dinner.
Yeah, I did.
That was great. I mean, what a blessing that was. The prize was for the most missed shots on a deer, but that's okay. And you won earplugs, hunting earplugs. That's the. We had a great time of fellowship last night, and appreciate Brother Lauk and Pastor Seatman putting that together, and appreciate our young men and old men alike. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for, Lord, just thank you for the good time already in church. Lord, it wasn't about friends. It wasn't about, God, I truly believe that you've ministered to our heart already. Lord, thank you for the good songs that we could lift up and proclaim. Lord, nothing but your blood could save us. Thank you for that. Thank you that one day our chains fell off and that prison door opened. And we too were set free from the consequences of our sin. God, as we open up the scriptures here today, Lord, help us to have a commitment to serve you. Lord, bless this time now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Most important job in the world. Some would say a mother. Oh, man. You'd have a hard time coming up with something. Network systems and data communication and analysis. Say, what do they do? Important stuff. President of the United States. That's an important job. That is a most powerful person in the free world, almost. A surgeon. Pilot, a lawyer. No, I would dare say the most important job in the entire world is that of a servant of the Lord. Now, listen, I know in our minds sometimes we think of this, okay, that's the pastor's job. That is the staff's job here at church or whatever. We are all called, and this morning's message is going to remind us that we are called, all of us, to serve the Lord. I really enjoy, as you know this, I really enjoy playing board games, Roger. I do. And one of the most classic of all games is chess. And as you lay out those 16 pieces on either side, and you got the pawns up front, the pawns can only move, they move slow, one step, maybe two steps. They're expendable almost, you would consider. Bishop's diagonal, a rook fast and all the way down the way. A queen can move all over the place. King in protection. But each one has a job and responsibility. And oftentimes you go, well, if I'm not the king, I don't get a... No, we each have a responsibility. We each have a calling to God to serve him with our life. Now he gets to put us where he wants us, though. When we dedicate our life to the Lord and say, God, here's my life, use it however, wherever, whenever you want, we take on the vocation of the highest calling there is, that of a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater or higher calling to serve God. What does it mean to serve God? Well, Ephesians chapter number 6. I love our Bible today. Man, so thankful for the Word of God that ever listen to someone talk and just go, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to say it that good, but that's exactly what I'm thinking, right? Ever do that? Sarah likes to listen to Debbie Pride, right? And she listens to her CDs and stuff, and she shares with me some of that stuff, and she'll just read me a paragraph, and she goes, this is how I think, and she'll just share with me. The person said it so well. You know, I read the scriptures and I go, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I am thankful for the scriptures here this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 7. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Hey, let us remember our first obligation is serving God. And the main way that God allows us to serve Him is by serving others. But our intention is, God, we're doing this for you. With goodwill doing service. We're not just talking about service. We're not just meeting about having service or serving the Lord. We are actually doing something for the Lord. And that's not just for one person. That's for us all. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And it says this, now look at now, in verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there any respect of persons with him. Hey, if we're going to serve the Lord, we have to have this number one understanding, that our boss, that our master is no man, but God himself. That we're going to have to answer to the Lord. And that's who we serve. That's a really important thing because I do believe this. We like to be served. And the person we serve the most is mostly ourselves. And a lot of times we lose sight of this important thought that God Himself is our master. And I'm going to invoke this thought in your mind here this morning. Things are out of line in your life when you serve you and not God. Hey, you get discouraged with life. You get downtrodden in life. You get weary in well-doing. It's because you're serving man rather than God. Hey, when you're in hard times, I encourage you to not get self-centered. Don't make it all about you. Make it about the Lord. Find someone else that you can go serve. One of the greatest ways of getting out of that depression is to not be served, but to go serve. Because, listen, because that's what you were created for. That's why you're here, to please God. That's what it says, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Unfortunately, every time we walk into the bathroom or down the hall of your house, you pass by a mirror and go, there's my master. That's the one that I have to consider. No, your master is in heaven. Serving God, number one, has to understand that God is your master. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13 that there is no greater than the Lord Himself in verse 16. The servant is not greater than the master. No, it's all about what God wants. God's rules, God's plan, God's commands. I think was it you, Brother Primer, that we were talking about? God lays out very clear direction. You want to do right, here's what happens. You want to do wrong, here's what happens. We read through the book of Proverbs, maybe on a monthly basis. And we read through and we read all the verses about the fool. And then we read all the verses about the wise man. We look at the fool and what happens? His home blows up, his destruction, he's got no friends, he's angry, he's given to wine. Now, all of these things are the characteristics of a fool, but woven within those very same pages are what happens to a wise person. Someone that takes the principles of the Word of God and makes God their master and say, I'm just going to serve you instead of serving me. The most miserable person is the person that's looking for self-satisfaction. You won't find it. You'll never be satisfied. But you want to feel the most success in your life? You want to experience peace and joy? Serve God with your life. Understanding God, number one, is your master. Number two, please understand this, that this is the will of God. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6, where you should be right there. Look at verse 6. Not with eye services, men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, look at now, doing the will of God from the heart. I talk with a lot of young people. I love young people. I love our young people, Benjamin. You know that? You're one of those. Benjamin hit the cheese trays hard yesterday. I was watching him. He was going to all the tables. It's because Mr. Laux makes really good sausage. Anyways. Meet with a lot of young people, and they'll sit in my office and say, Pastor, what is God's will for my life? They don't say those exact words, but that's what they're asking. I'll tell you what God's will is for all of our lives. To serve Christ. That's what it says. It says, not with eye services, men pleasers. But here it is. The servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's what he desires for all of you, to serve his son, to serve him. So when we do anything other than that, you understand that you're out of God's will. Now, I understand we all, you have to work a job and you have to provide for your family, but you can be a servant of God and do all of those things. You can serve the Lord and take care of your family. You understand that, right? Because each is a different piece. Each is a different part. But I would figure out what God's will is for your life and say, I'm just going to do that. And I guarantee it involves serving the Lord. Pleasing God. Say, what does that look like? What does that mean? I know what it looks like when I go to a restaurant. We have a server. They bring us food and they fill up our water. Remember when you used to, remember Chinese restaurants? Remember those? And you would sit down and you would eat at a Chinese restaurant. It wasn't just takeout. Remember that? Do they still have those? Mr. Bauman, do they still have those? I don't know. We always get takeout. And like the minute you would take a sip of your water, that person would come with the little water thing. Like they were filling it up as it was in your mouth. Remember that? And we go, that's what I want to do for the Lord. It'd just be a lot easier if I could see him. What does it mean to serve God? What a great question. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We see these commands in our young people. It stirs in their heart. God, I want to serve you with all my life. What does that mean? What does that mean? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, it says. I want to show you what it means to serve God. It's this phrase right here. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Did I tell you that? Stephen, were you at 1 Timothy 6, 1? Good. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. What does it mean to serve God? It means to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that would please and honor and glorify him. That the name of God is promoted by your life. That those around you wouldn't get a sour taste in their mouth about the Lord because of they've just been hanging around you. To serve God is to promote the things of the Scriptures, to live them, to speak them. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Everybody can do that. There's a lot of titles that we all have. Many, you've heard that phrase, right? We all wear a lot of hats, right? You know what that means, right? Oh, we have the Sterling family with us. They take up a whole row. Wonderful. So glad you're here. They've down here visiting from Plattsburgh, is that right? And we're at youth. Yeah, what is it? That's the one Bible Baptist Church. Have you been there, brother?
Yes, sir.
I can tell. Yeah, yeah. You went there too? Good. Good job, Brother Rodell. Now you got me all confused. Hold on. Where was I? I was talking to you. What was I talking to you about? What is it? Hats. Thank you. Them North Country people mess me up is what it is. We all wear a lot of hats. Some are father, some are son, some are pastor, some are plumber, some are what? There's a lot of different hats we all wear. But one that we should all carry around all the time is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christians. What does Christian mean? It means Christ-like. From the inside out, I get it, but there ought to be some out, yes? If Christ is in, it ought to show up on the out. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That the name of God is promoted where we are. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. Hey, young person, as you endeavor to serve the Lord and say, God, I know Youth Ablaze just happened and you could tell there was a good spirit here as individuals fixed their heart with the Lord. Hey, that just affects everybody around you. And I appreciate that conference. That's a good conference. If you went, I'm glad. But you come at, and you're at the altar and you got tears in your eyes and you want to fix things with mom and dad and you and the Lord. And then you stand up and walk away going, now what? You live a life that is parallel to what the Scripture says, day in and day out. You live a life that promotes the name of God and his doctrines, day in and day out. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 12, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God on the day of visitation. Hey, there ought to be a daily life about you that just, you don't have to wear a name tag, you don't have to have the shirt that says, it ought to be seen in you that you're a Christian. That's what it means to serve God. God, every single day, I'm going to take up my cross daily and follow you. I'm going to speak your name, and I'm going to do my very best to take the doctrines that you have laid out, and I'm going to try and live them out. Anybody ever fail at that? Oh. Man, I'm so glad the Lord is gracious. Ever go to an important place? Maybe you got all your kids in the car and you're looking at the GPS. You're about 5 minutes out. And you have that very, you turn, all of a sudden the radio turns off, the heat turns off, kids are quiet, what's going on? About to have the serious talk before we go in. Listen, we are going to a very nice house. These are very nice people. They're gentle people. Do not. We give them a list. Do not bring shame to our family name. Sometimes that speech works. Sometimes you're walking out going, they're never going to talk to us again. We're never going to see them again. I'm surprised the police department hasn't been called. You know, that's how I feel with the Lord sometimes. I go into a place trying to represent him, promote his name, and I walk out of there thinking, I just shamed him. If I was the only representation of Christ in their life, I'm sorry. And I feel like every time the Lord says, that's okay, we'll do it again tomorrow. I'll give you another chance tomorrow and the day thereafter. What does it mean to serve the Lord? It means to promote the name and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ day in and day out. Whether you're a pastor or a mother or a daughter, a student, father or husband, working a job, whatever it is, do you serve the Lord? In Psalm chapter number 2, go there with me. Psalm chapter number 2. In verse 11. It says this, to which attitude do I serve the Lord? Number one, I serve the Lord with fear. And Psalm chapter 2 and verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Say, that doesn't sound like a good servant. Hey, it's just that wonderment and awe of God. It goes back to the original understanding that God is your master. Serve the Lord with fear. Talked about it a little bit last night. Recognizing that one day I'm going to stand before His judgment. And we will have to answer for the things that we've done, both good and bad, in our body. We will have to answer for our actions. But the Lord goes so much deeper than that. Our heart and our intentions. All of it. You know, you could serve the Lord the wrong way. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 reminds us that our heart is most important in our service to God. Do you know He cares more about your heart than He does the results? He'd call you a faithful prophet if you preached for 7 years and saw zero converts. We see that in the scriptures. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. It doesn't say successfully. It says heartily. As to the Lord and not unto men. Reminding us again who it is that we serve. Now, most times when we're serving God, it is expressed to others. I get it. But the intention is to please the Lord Himself. And that comes from the heart. How to serve the Lord? We serve Him with fear. We serve Him with the right heart. We serve Him this way. Look at this. Psalm 100. Serving God is the greatest thing ever. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Sunday morning, you wake up, you look at the calendar, go, oh, it is my week for the baby nursery. I think I was exposed this week. I'm out. Done. They did things to me last month I have not recovered from. Sleepless nights, cold sweats, all that. I'm not doing it. serve the Lord with gladness. How do you serve the Lord? With fear, with the right heart, and with gladness. Do you understand that serving God is a privilege? It is not a, I'll tell you this, it's not a right. It's a command. But the fact that we get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with any ounce of our being is the greatest privilege that we could ever experience. We ought to do it with gladness. The Bible reminds us in Acts chapter number 20, turn there. How do you serve the Lord? Well, after those verses, poorly. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, it says this, serving the Lord with all, oh man, why do you have to say this? With all humility of mind. He says that, may I remind us, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, because it's not about you. It's not about your comforts. It's not about even what it costs you. It's all about the Lord. That's why a guy can get in a van and drive from his country into harm's way to try and be a blessing to others. Why would someone do that? Don't you know that you could be injured? Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. With many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, is Paul talking. Well, how does this benefit me? That's the American way, right? What do I get out of this? Unless there's a clear course and a clear plan, I'm not serving the Lord unless I know that somehow I turn out better in the end. Paul says, I gave up everything for you. I guarantee it worked out okay for Paul in the end. How to serve the Lord? Number one, with fear. Number two, with a right heart. Number three, with gladness. Can I just encourage you in gladness? It is a privilege to serve the Lord. To any capacity. And then with humility. Why? Because it's all about the Master, not about you and I. Romans chapter 12. How do you serve the Lord? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, this section of Romans is discussing our interaction with one another. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, dedicated and faithful. The Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that a steward must be faithful. Maybe over the last couple years, with all the things that are going on, you've had to fill out a resume. There you are, and you're writing all your things, that, you know, graduated 7th grade, finished, you know, good, that's great. Played T-ball, putting that on there, trying to, you know, really wow the boss. If you were to fill out a resume for the Lord, you know what he's looking for? Faithfulness, humility, gladness, right heart, and one that would fear him. Say, let me tell you about all the skills I have. Let me tell you about all my resources. Let me tell you about all the people I know. Oh man, I can do great things for the Lord. He needs me. No, he's just looking for someone faithful. He's just looking for someone humble, someone that would serve him with gladness, with the right heart, and to fear his name. So how you doing? We're all called to serve him. This isn't just for a select group, but this is the highest calling. Can I show you this? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll end with this thought. In verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, similar to what we just looked at, faithful, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you understand this? That serving God is worthwhile. It's worth your time. It's worth your efforts. It's worth everything that you could throw at it. There's a benefit in doing this. And here's the hard part. You might not see it on this side. You might not see all those doors you knocked, all those tracts you handed out. I find myself at McDonald's has done wonderful things with their app to my detriment. It finds me in the drive-thru regularly. They give me buy one, get one free things. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad that I consider parking for 15 minutes and thinking about going back again because it's one deal per 15 minutes. Anyways, I'm getting a lot of tracks out, though. And that snarky little, you know, the snarky little 17-year-old girl, when you, hey, can I give you one of these three? What is that? It's a gospel track. Tell you about the Lord. Fine. That was the last, that was my last interaction at window one. Because that's where you pay. How's that work? I don't know. I don't know. Does that mean we stop handing out tracts? No. That means that at window two, I'm going to do the same thing. And let them talk about it. I don't know. I don't know where they're at. Or will there be one day? Yesterday, we were knocking doors, and some people are very kind and open the door and say hello, and we're polite, right, T? We saw that. And then some people open the door this far. Who is that? Well, my name's Nick. This is Abby and Charity from Walkabout Baptist Church. What do you want? Well, just to give you the gospel tract and invite you to church. All right. Well, hand comes out. You pass it through. You don't know. You don't know. They might have just woken up, T. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. You just don't know. Does that mean you stop? No. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. You serve the Lord with gladness. With humility, because it's worthwhile. The Bible tells us that there's a reward at the end. I don't know how that's all going to work out. But I do know the promises of God. I encourage you here today. You don't have to be full-time in the ministry to be a servant of the Lord. At the end of the day, was the name of God promoted in his doctrines? Philippians chapter number 3, and we'll end with this verse. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Focus on the prize. There is a benefit of serving the Lord. The Bible reminds us that it's not in vain, that there's actually a physical reward, that, well, a spiritual reward we'll see one day. But he encourages us, focus in on that prize. Focus in on the end. All of you have, to some degree, experienced the benefit of a faithful servant of the Lord. And I will say that you all, that we all are better because of it. Someone taught a Sunday school lesson that that was the week that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Some windy, snowy, middle of February Sunday morning, the junior church worker made it, and you heard a message, although you've heard the thought 25 times, that was the morning you gave your life to Christ. There was a parent or a mother or a father that were in difficult times, yet they served God with their life, and it was that moment of their faith that encouraged you to pattern your life after that. There's been a lot of times that we've failed. I encourage you here this morning to serve the Lord. At the end of the day, no matter where you go, may his name be promoted and his doctrines be lived out in our life. Maybe your desire here this morning is, I'd like to serve the Lord, but I don't know how. You know what? I could read you a list of ministries, but I wouldn't do that. I'd rather have you come forward and just say, God, I'd like to serve you any way I can. Can you show me where you want me? Because then it's not me placing you, it's God placing you. And I think we should do that every single day. At least have that attitude. God, wherever you want me, whatever you want me to do, I want to serve you to the fullest at that place. Let's all stand. Maybe you attempt to serve the Lord and have tried, but maybe your heart isn't right. And this morning, in a moment, the music's going to play, and you need to come forward and just fix your heart. Hey, you're in the right place. You're doing the right thing, just with the wrong heart. Maybe you need to come and ask the Lord for forgiveness and say, God, I've not been serving you heartily. I've gotten a little bitter. I've gotten a little distracted, discouraged. I am certainly not doing it with gladness. Lord, would you forgive me and give me another chance? God, I actually think this whole world's about me, and I don't serve you for you. I serve you for me. Maybe you need to come and humble yourself. Maybe you just need to come and talk to the Lord and say, God, I want to get in. I just don't know where. Will you show me? Say, well, is this for like full-time Christian service? No, this is for daily Christian life. This is the highest calling that there is. We all should ask the Lord this. God, what is it that you want me to do for you today? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. And Lord, as the music plays, maybe someone here today would just commit again. God, I want to serve you with my life. I just want you to show me what to do. Maybe some are serving and not with the right heart or the right attitude. Lord, I pray you'd help us. God, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified with what was said here this morning. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?